Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You can go ahead and be seated. Believe, belong, become, and build. The vision of the church is there is a progress that we should go through, that we should help people through. And I'm figuring out some things. I'm pastoring now for 10 years. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but you start figuring out stuff. And as a young man, I would sit in church and I'd listen to pastors say stuff. And I would say, man, why is he saying that for? Now I know. Now I know why they were saying some of the things they were saying. Didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. I'm figuring out that when Paul was telling us that we should all speak the same thing, it wasn't just a suggestion. But we really should, as the body, be in one mind. And if we're in one mind and if we're in that place of unity and if we're in that place where we speak the same thing, then the Spirit can flow through us. We understand that the enemy likes division. We've talked about it a lot lately. Division, two visions. He loves to have that with anything. Anything, because where there's division, there's always controversy and there's struggle. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? It's really hard to walk with somebody that you don't agree with. It's why we've went back to the basics and we've started out and we've taught. We went through Romans. We went through imputed righteousness. We've talked about being justified. We've worked our way through all of this so that we can understand what we're based on. I think that's extremely important, Melba, because here's the problem. If I'm trying to do something and I think that it should be done this way, and you think it should be done that way, We're going to struggle. So we got to come together in a certain place. And I think the best place for Christians to meet is in the Word of God. If we meet there, Eddie, then we're going to meet in a place of power. Now, the only way that we can meet in the truth of God's Word is through the Spirit of God. So we may have wandered away a little bit. And to my struggle, I love apologetics, and I love to appeal to the intellect, and I love to argue with agnostics and atheists and people that don't believe, and I love to prove my point. I love all of that. But what I've learned is I can't talk anybody into being a Christian. There's no way that I can educate them into it. The only way they'll ever be saved is by and through a work of the Spirit of God. So we're on build. I preached it real fast Sunday at the end. So I want to go back and start over just a little bit and tell you that if we're going to build something, the only way we're going to build it is through the Spirit of God. Unless God build the house, they that build it labor in vain. We're not going to do any good if we build a house of intellect and we've got a bunch of smart people that aren't born again. We can have people that can quote chapters, but if the Spirit hasn't taken out the old nature and put in a new nature, he said, you won't ever see the kingdom of God. There's no way. He said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And when we're born again and we have a new nature and we are adopted into the family of God, we can work together and build something. I use this a lot, but I got to use it in case you've never heard it. And if you're a visitor, the Tower of Babel brought confusion. The reason it brought confusion is because the people were trying to build a name for themselves. They said, let us build a name for ourselves. When Jesus came back in the form of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost and they were filled with the Spirit, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And all the people standing around made this statement. How is it that every one of us understand in our language, these men being Galileans? How is it that we can understand? What Babel brought was confusion. And anytime the enemy is around, that's what he's going to bring. Anytime there's pride, he's going to bring confusion. That's what the enemy brought. But what the Spirit brought was understanding and clarity. God is not the author of confusion. Every man understood in his own language. If we can't get the Spirit to flow through us, the world will never understand what we're talking about. But once the Spirit flows through us and gets to them, there is an awakening that takes place, and then they can see because the blinders have been removed by the Spirit. Are you with me? He said, if you don't take up your cross, if you don't take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. And the next, he says, for which of you intending to build a tower, we're going to build something. We're going to build, he said, which of you intends to do this doesn't count the cost. Count the cost. I'm talking to believers in this room. If you are going to do something for the kingdom of God, it's going to cost you something. Salvation is free. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. How many people are thankful that you were saved by the grace of God? You didn't have anything to do with it. It wasn't by your works of righteousness, lest you should boast, but it was by the grace of an almighty God who didn't send his extra son. He sent his only son to die for your sin, and you're saved and washed by the work of Jesus. Are you thankful that he saved you when everybody else said you were unsavable? You're saved by his grace. You have to exercise your faith into that grace. There is nothing in you that merited him to save you. As a matter of fact, everything in you was against him saving you. Amen. We walked according to the course of this world. Read the works of the flesh. And Paul says, and such were some of you. But he saved you anyway. But we've got to move past that. He said, let's leave the principal doctrines of Christ and let us go on to perfection, maturity. We got to grow up. We can't just sit around. Again, I say this a lot, and I'm going to keep repeating it to you. We can't sit around, Brother Eddie, and high-five each other because you're saved and I'm saved. No, the church is on a mission, and we know the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus. But he didn't call us just to sit and look at the foundation. He called us to build a house, to build a temple, and to be that temple. God's always moving. One of the first things I ever learned from Brother Eddie was the law of first mention. Years ago, when I was young and sitting in church, evangelist came and talked about the law of first mention. Caught my attention. If you want to know something about something in Scripture, go back to where it is first mentioned and see what's happening there. And usually, what it's doing there, it's still doing today. Because when God moves, he doesn't move in time. He moves in eternity. So if you go back to the first time in the Bible where it mentions the Spirit, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But what happened? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The very first thing we see the Spirit doing is moving. You look throughout the history of Israel and you're going to find out they didn't live in houses much. They always had tents. Why did they have tents all the time? Because God was moving. They had to be willing to pick up and take off wherever God told him to go. They had to go. The tabernacle, the very thing they worshiped in, was a tent, because they had to be willing to follow God. You know what that means? You got to be willing to change. Oh, change? Preacher, I've been in this old way for 40 years. Heard some preacher say that one time. Said a lady said she'd been in the way for 40 years. He said, I wish she'd get out of the way. I've been in this way a long time. But if we're going to get to where we've never been, we've got to do what we've never done. I believe he said, we have compassed this mountain long enough. Let's go north. We've been in this realm long enough. Let me ask you a question. Let's get real with each other. Have you ever been in that place where you say, man, there's just something more. There's got to be something more than coming to church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and going to work through the week and everything's the same. God, there's got to be something more to this. I believe you called me for something greater, and I'm here to tell you he did, and you've been had, and it's time to move out and move up. How do you do that? Count the cost. Count the cost. Because here's the problem. You can start it, but can you finish it? When'd you get married? Why'd you squint and act like he's concentrating? 2010, what day?
December 18th.
Did you have a wedding? Where was it?
Mapscott.
Had a wedding. Was it pretty?
Eh.
Yeah. I'm giving you a chance.
Beautiful.
And did you take off and did you go out of town? Man, the beginning could never prepare you or you for some of the things that you had to endure. Because the beginning is exciting. The beginning, I mean, they're throwing stuff at you. Everybody's celebrating. And then after so many years, y'all are throwing stuff at each other. You say, I've never done it. How many snide remarks have you thrown at her? Years of commitment. Years. Let me ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me. Do you plan on sticking it out? No matter how the wedding was, you're still going to stick it out, right? You're going to make it till the very end. That's your goal, ain't it? Because the truth is, it's not really how you start. It's how you finish. So you sit down and you count the cost, but it didn't prepare you. But you have to understand that there is a finish line. It's easy for me to preach to you that Jesus is the Alpha. He is the beginning. But I also have to preach to you this. He's not just the Alpha. He is the Omega. You just can't just begin in him for a little while. But when you take your last breath on this earth, I want you to know you got to finish in him. He's Alpha and he's Omega. And you got to make it. Give me my picture, Shane, if you would. Did you get me one? Y'all may not be able to tell what this is, but This is John Stephen Aquari, 1968 Olympics. He is in Mexico. And he hadn't trained to run that distance at that altitude ever. In his country, he trained at a lower altitude. When he got there, the altitude of the city started messing with him. So about 16 kilometers into a 42-kilometer race, he began to cramp. He was trying to make a move to pass some fellas, and they all got tangled up, and he dislocated his right knee when he fell and hurt his shoulder badly. Look this up when you get a chance, because it is so inspiring. They've already handed out the awards, first, second, third place. They've already got their medals, and it's almost dark. And there's a few reporters left, and there's a few people sitting in the stands, and he runs out. Look at the stands. They're quite empty at this point. And he runs out to a crowd that kind of claps. Claps. Did I say claps or claps? They clap their hands. He almost collapsed while they collapse. He makes his way in. And the reporter makes his way over to him. And out, there was 70-some runners that started. Only 57 finished. And he's dead last of the 57 that finished. And they ask him this question. They say, "Why did you finish?" He said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start this race." He said, "My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish this race. And I want to let you know that you have been called from another country. And you are an ambassador of Christ. And he did not call you to just start this race. But he called you to finish this race. And I'm here to tell you, you got to get something down deep inside of you that's greater than you if you're going to finish." Thank you, Shane. How many people sitting in this room right now started your journey with brothers and sisters beside you in a church house, and now they are gone and they no longer serve Jesus? Raise your hand. They've walked away from the church. They've walked away from the faith. Anybody in here have anybody in your life? I want to see your hands. Look around. Almost every one of us. So I want to ask you a question. What are you doing to keep your life off that statistic? Because every one of them said, "Not me." Even Peter would make the statement. "Not me, Jesus. I'll go with you, Jesus." Peter, that loudmouth apostle, he said, "I'll go with you." And Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me thrice. Before it happens, you're going to deny me." "Not me, not me, not me, not me, not me." How do I keep my name off that list? How do I keep my name off the list of the people who have fell by the wayside, that started but have not finished? I'm going to tell you, there's only one answer I can give you. You better get filled with the Holy Ghost of God and make sure that it abides in you. Because when you can't keep yourself, he can keep you. When you don't feel like taking one more step, he'll push you. When you don't think you can make it, he'll pull you. I got a keeper, and he's called the Holy Ghost. It'll keep you. I don't know about you, but I think God's drugged me part of the way. Ain't no one set of footprints in the sand. It's a ditch. I think I'm going to redo that picture. You're going to look down the beach, and all you're going to see is a ditch down through there. "God, what's that?" "That's when I was dragging you, boy. That's when I was dragging you." Can I get an amen? Anybody ever feel like he just drug you? Oh, yeah. You said, I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. But, man, something inside of you kept pushing you to go forward. God, I don't really want to pray. I don't feel like praying. You know what? God never asked you how you felt anyway. But there's something inside of you that begins to rise up and say, you know what? If I get a hold of God, everything's going to be all right. Can I tell you what that is? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. When you don't feel like going, He'll make you go anyway. Why? Because He loves you and He's going to get you through this. He's your helper. I said, He's your helper. Get ready, Shane, get ready. I already seen it today. Get ready. She's going to be asking for more help from you. You know why? Because she's expecting. Today she's at the house. Can't even get off the couch, and she just now got started. Held her arm out. I reached down and pulled her up. She said, I'm pregnant. You know what happens when somebody is expecting? Desires change. Oh, come on. They start craving weird stuff. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm just going to do something crazy for Jesus. You might be expecting. You might be carrying something. You might be carrying something that God wants to bring through. And I promise you this, if it's in there, He'll help you. I promise He'll help you. You ain't going to get this done by yourself anyway, but you got the Holy Ghost of God that'll reach down and help you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that quickens my mortal body. You got to count the cost. How do I pay it? How do I pay it? What do I do? How do I make this happen? It's not about trying harder. It's about submission and submitting more. I'll tell you one of the greatest things that you can ever learn. If you're fighting in mixed martial arts, is how to tap out. It's one of the greatest moves ever. Amen? Because if you don't, you're liable to get hurt. Dustin got me in an arm bar one time, and I said, I'm not tapping. I felt my elbow pop. I said, I won't tap. I said, break it. And it popped the second time. And I said, oh, I don't know how many more pops are left in this arm. Third time, he just let me go. And you know, my elbow hurt for years. No, I'm not kidding. Years. And I walked around and said, man, I was so stupid. It was just me and him. I wasn't showing off in front of anybody. Nobody's seen it. So, I mean, he beat me. So what? I could have tapped and saved myself a whole lot of pain. Oh, let me say it again. I could have tapped and saved myself years of pain. Remember when I was out there trying to play church softball with y'all and I was looking for elbow braces? That was that injury. I didn't want to tell anybody. Dustin broke my elbow, so I just tried to keep swinging. I tried to be tough. You know what the problem is? We're trying to be tough, and God's saying, just surrender. Just surrender. I'm going to make this a whole lot easier for you if you just tap out and surrender. I'm going to save you a lot of pain. I'm going to save you a lot of sorrow. I'm going to save you a lot of agony. The old writers knew it. They said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Tap out. Surrender. Just give up and let Jesus take over. That's the cost you gotta pay. What's the cost? It's pride. Because you know what we think? We think we got it. We think we can handle it. We think we can do it. Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about? I'm the kind of guy, I won't ask for help hardly ever. I think people should just know that I'm doing something and just volunteer to help me because they love me. But when it comes to this, here's the cost. Can you let Jesus run the show? Because if you don't let him run the show, you will not finish. But oh, give up and let Jesus. Come on, some of you old people. Never mind, y'all can't sing very good. Give up and let Jesus take over. Andrew, I saw you at the altar Sunday. Just give up and let Jesus take it. Man, did you see the altar Sunday? Man, I'm telling you right now, we're borderline revival. I said, we're borderline revival. Why is that? Because you see some people coming to, when you come, the altar's not a place of shame. It's a place of power. What is an altar? An altar is a place you lay down some things and you walk away from them. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of submission. It's a place where you tie some things down and they don't follow you back out of here. Amen. All right, okay. Let me give you one more story and I'm going to let you go. How long, Shane? Somebody told me that Spotify won't go longer than 30 minutes. So that's not true. I could preach for hours, but I want to give you one more story. Nehemiah 4:17. If you don't know the story, they're rebuilding the wall. The people had a mind to work. They're unified. They're together. And they're unified in such a way that the enemy said, you know what? We're going to stop this. We're going to make sure this gets stopped. But they were too unified. The Bible said, so they built the wall and the half thereof because the people had a mind to work. They wanted to work, but the problem was there was an enemy trying to stop them from working. The Bible says, and they which build it on the wall, they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. So, man, don't you just love when God speaks to you? So I'm picturing these people. They are working and they have weapons. So if I'm going to draw a picture of this guy, do I dress him in military attire or do I dress him in work clothes? That was my question today, just today, just today. And I felt like the Lord said, your work clothes are your war clothes.
Amen. That's right.
No, let me say that again. Your work clothes are your war clothes. We think we got to get dressed up for the parade. No, we just got to work because our work is also our war. You got to understand, God's called you to do something. God's called you to be something, and it's going to take some work. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some submission, but in that work, you are declaring war on the enemy. Let me say it like this. Every time I preach the gospel, I feel like I'm working, but I'm also at war with the enemy. Because it gets it done. I don't know. Maybe we could sing the song different. I got my work clothes on in the army of the Lord. Every testimony, every sermon, every Sunday school lesson took work. But that work was warfare. Oh, man, I hope we see this. I hope we see this because we're dressed up for a battle. We're dressed up. We got the whole armor of God. And if we got the whole armor of God, he said, get ready. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What are you saying? I'm saying the Holy Ghost comes alongside of my work and makes spiritual things happen when I'm just a vessel that can be used by him. Are you with me? Come on, Aaron. I guess you're going to finish up, right? No. I believe he that begun a good work. I don't know why I keep coming over here. How you doing today, man? You're just sitting in a good spot. I want to pray for you before you go home with Brittany. Because that comment about the wedding. But you did clarify it was beautiful. I mean, brother. We're in a battle. This is why faithfulness is so important. Raise your hand if you've ever been a boss in here. Ever been a boss? Ever been a boss, a manager, anything? Raise your hand real high. Raise your hand real high. Look around all these people that told everybody else what to do. How many people have been in that position and had somebody that wouldn't show up? Raise your hand. How'd that work out for you? Work out good for you when they wasn't faithful? And man, they had some sorry excuses. My alarm didn't go off. Your alarm didn't go off. It's mechanical. If you tell it to go off, it will go off. They don't ever say, I didn't set my alarm. They say, my alarm didn't go off. Yes, it did. You turned it off before you got up. So let me tell you what you're not going to get to do. You're not going to get to stand before Jesus and say, I went to City on the Hill and the alarm didn't go. The alarm is going off right now. I think he told us to sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready to do some work for the Lord. Amen. Some people spend more time dodging work. I'll leave it alone, preacher. Than they do at work. Whoa. Tap out. Say, Jesus, take it right now. Jesus, take it. Because we're getting ready to get somewhere. Trace, I already got my first sermon for January. First service in January. I already got my first sermon. You want to know what it is? Then be here January. We're going somewhere. We're going to get some equipment. Some spiritual equipment. Some of you people that don't possess one gift of the Spirit, you're not going to walk through next year and make that same testimony at the end of the year. I promise. Because we're going to get some equipment. We're going to get ready. Because we're getting ready to build. Are you ready? You ever get tired in your Christian walk? You say, yeah, preacher, I'm there right now. Here's the way we work this to our visitors. Every service, we have a song after we preach. That's not for your entertainment. Let's give you a space. If God spoke to you, or if you need prayer, we're going to pray with you. If you need to come to the altar and God's dealing with your heart for any reason, we'll pray with you. And the devil's going to say, nah, don't go up there and pray because they'll think, let me tell you what these people think. They think we were all in the same position. And we still to this day go to the altar. Amen? Because it's not a place of shame. It's a place of power. So as he sings, if you need prayer, we'll pray with you. We'll lay hands on you because we believe that does something in Scripture. We believe that there's a transfer that takes place. If you need to pray at the altar, we'll kneel down and pray with you. We're rooting for you. If you're in here tonight and you're tired, you've been praying for something for a long time and you've not seen it happen yet, would you come and allow us to pray with you? Because sometimes it gets tiring. Sometimes we look at what we see But oh man, that wind begins to blow. The wind of God's Spirit begins to compel us. If that's you, this altar is open. Come on, Aaron, go ahead.